Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Friday, 11th of June, 2021 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the island and background to the news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person tonight. No new cases of COVID-19, still 7 active cases. And no one in Nobles Hospital. In this update, the Chief Minister wants the UK NHS app for the Isle of Man. Why Manx.net went wrong, medicinal cannabis. Remembering Mike Hailwood, looking forward to Isle of Pride. And also House of Keys candidate Paul Weatherall. All on this flume-free Friday.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, 29 minutes before 6, these are the update news headlines. First of my, Lewis Foster.
First of my, Chief Minister Howard Quayle has been pushing for access to the UK's NHS app to help Manx citizens travel abroad. It's being used to prove a person's COVID vaccination status, which is now becoming an entry requirement for many countries. The mountain road could be closed for 5 weeks this summer for work to enable TT 2022 to take place. Plans are in to shut the route in stages between the 16th of August and the 19th of September. The Department of Infrastructure claims the project is the least worst option and says it's not prepared to jeopardise the return of TT by not doing the work. And the boss of Manx Telecom says its ManxNet service is under review after users were unable to access emails in recent weeks. Gary Lamb says the disruption was totally unacceptable. In the international news, the UK has reported the highest daily number of coronavirus cases since the end of February. There have been 8,125 new infections in the latest 24-hour period and 17 deaths recorded within 28 days of a positive test. Meanwhile, the British Medical Association is urging the UK government not to go ahead with the easing of lockdown restrictions on June the 21st. It says a delay is necessary to see how the Indian variant affects the number of people needing hospital treatment. And Boris Johnson has told G7 leaders they must learn from the mistakes of the pandemic and not repeat the errors that were doubtless made. The UK Prime Minister also said their economies have the potential to bounce back very shortly. Manx, those are the headlines. I'll be back with more at 6 o'clock.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goramaya, thank you, Lewis. From the Ronald Tway Met Office, still got a strong wind warning out in the North Irish Sea for the next 12 hours. A dry evening across the island. A light southwest wind down to 11 degrees through the night. Gerrish Acton for the weekend. Saturday, Jasan dry with sunny spells. A light west northwesterly. Daytime maximum 19 degrees. The overnight minimum is 9. Jaduni, Sunday, dry and sunny, a light to moderate southwesterly, up to 20 degrees Celsius. Tides on the way out, low water 7 minutes past 7 this evening, sunset 10 to 10, high water 9 minutes past 1 a.m, sunrise 4:45 tomorrow, low water 17 minutes to 8, the lunchtime high tide 25 to 2.
Find the latest ranges of high-tech windows, doors and conservatories at the Manx Glass and Glazing Showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
So, no new cases of COVID-19 in the last 24 hours on the Isle of Man. Lewis is back with the detail.
581 tests have been undertaken since yesterday's update, with just 35 results outstanding as of the latest snapshot at 20 past 2 this afternoon. The total number of active cases on the island remains at 7, and nobody is receiving hospital treatment for the virus. Meanwhile, 522 people are booked in to be tested for COVID-19 tomorrow. And finally, in vaccines, with the rollout set to restart on Monday, 4,385 people are set to receive a coronavirus vaccine over the next 7 days.
The Chief Minister has been pushing for access to the UK's NHS app to help Manx citizens travel abroad. It's being used to prove a person's COVID vaccination status, which has now become an entry requirement for many countries. Howard Quayle met the UK Minister Michael Gove at the British-Irish Council Summit in Northern Ireland today to discuss use of the app. Here is the Chief Minister.
Like the good people of Wales who are applying to use the UK or the English NHS app, we have a reciprocal health agreement with the United Kingdom, and therefore I felt that we should be entitled to take part in using the UK app that's being worked on to show that if you've had your vaccinations, then you are able to maybe go on planes, go to jurisdictions, which is you can see going forward. I think speaking to the Taoiseach, Ireland will insist going forward that if you want to come there, if you've had the two vaccinations and you've had the 14 days since, then you won't be expected to have any tests when you go to Ireland. So this may well be the way the travel goes forward, and I want to make sure that the people of the Isle of Man are not disadvantaged.
Do you foresee any issues with having that, or any potential problems with that system?
Well, if we can't get onto the UK system, then we would have to do our own, and then ensure that our own is recognised across the world. And you can see that anyone who's travelled away sometimes get questions about their Manx passport or the Manx driving licence. So being allied to the UK app regarding the COVID passport system, I think it will be a good result for the people of the Isle of Man, and that's what I'm working on behind the scenes.
Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Good evening, 23 minutes before 6. Well, there are no flumes at the NSE, but there may soon be a cafe. A contract's been offered to potential new operators of the NSC cafe. Here's our local democracy reporter, Chris Cave.
We're told a contract has been signed and is awaiting ratification before an official announcement is made, but it's believed there were 30 expressions of interest to run the site, which has been out of use since March last year. Operators were sought in January, asking potential suitors to transform the cafe at the NSC into a focal point for guests and visitors. The site, which is located near the indoor swimming pool and sports halls, was previously run by the Department of Education, Sport and Culture. It was shut following the government's response to the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020. Inviting interest to run the cafe, Dr. Alex Allinson, the department's minister, said it was an opportunity for it to be reinvented with its own identity.
The boss of Manx Telecom says its Manx.net service is under review after users were unable to access emails in recent weeks. CEO Gary Lamb says the disruption was totally unacceptable. He explained what went wrong to Ewan Gawn.
So we have a service provided by a third party, and they were doing a transfer of their data from one data centre to another. We were under the impression from them that there would be no issues, but unfortunately that was not the case, and we have ended up with a number of issues, as our customers will know. As I said, very frustrating for all of us. We're in constant contact with that supplier to try and get best understanding of when it'll be resolved. We do understand now that their migration has completed. It took longer than was expected, and we do know that there will still be some customers who will need some support to change some of their settings in their Manx accounts so that they're able to access the service. But once again, huge apologies, and we're very frustrated with the service that we've been provided, which we then provide to our customers.
So what are the consequences of this disruption for that third-party provider? Are there any? Because this isn't the first time there have been issues with ManxNet, and people are calling those who use it for a more robust service.
Yeah, I mean, the consequences are, and as you can tell from my frustration, is that we will be reviewing the service. We will be sitting down with that supplier, and we'll be thinking about how do we move this forward. It is totally unacceptable that people cannot access their Manx.net emails, and we do have to try and resolve this. And you're absolutely right, there have been other issues, unfortunately, with the same provider, and we do need to sit down with them, review the service, and make sure that we don't end up in this situation again. It is totally unacceptable.
Now, what is Manx Telecom's long-term plan for Manx.net? Because some see it as a poor relation of the other services you've offered. It is free, of course. It's not part of the other things you do have paid for. So is there a long-term plan to sustain this service? Where do you see it going?
Yeah, I think I go back to my previous answer. So we're going to review the service. We're going to review who we get the service from. And it's a good question. Is this something we will be providing long term? I don't believe there are any other telcos that actually provide, or not many, if any, this kind of email service. It's been around for a long time.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The Ben McCree left Heysham at 6 minutes past two. She docked in Douglas a little less than half an hour ago. She'll be off at 8:15 this evening, heading for Heysham, arriving there shortly before midnight, leaving at 2:15, back on the island tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
The Department of Infrastructure says closing the mountain road for 5 weeks is the least worst option. It's planning to shut the route for upgrading works and essential maintenance from the 16th of August. Again, Ewan Gorn.
Plans are in place to shut the route in stages between the 16th of August and the 19th of September. TT organisers say it's essential that a failing drainage system in the Stella Maris and Barul Park areas of Ramsey is rectified before racing can take place again. The first section to close would be the section between Barul Park in Ramsey and the bungalow, which is for the full 5 weeks, with access from the northern villages and Ramsey via Thalty Will. The final 3 weeks of work would also see the stretch of road between the Cregner Bar and the bungalow closed between 9 in the morning and 4 p.m. on weekdays only. It will be fully open for weekend travel. The Department of Infrastructure says general maintenance will also be carried out, including replacement of the centre and edge lines and new tram signals. It claims delaying it beyond September would almost certainly increase the duration of the works due to the likely bad weather. Minister Tim Baker said the department acknowledges this will be an inconvenience for many people, but the work is necessary, he says, to allow next year's TT to go ahead, as well as for the safe long-term use of the circuit. Nobody likes a road closure, he says, but repairs have to be done, and this is the least worst option. Consultation is now taking place with local businesses, including Ramsey Town Commissioners. You can find out more about this story at manxradio.com.
18 minutes before six. Thank you for joining Manx Radio this Friday evening. One of the most iconic riders in TT history, Mike the Bike, is being celebrated at a special event at the Grandstand this weekend. Chris Cave.
Tomorrow marks 60 years since Mike Hailwood claimed his maiden victory around the famous mountain course. Regarded as one of the greatest riders of all time, he went on to win a total of 14 races at the Isle of Man TT. Adrian Earnshaw, one of the organisers of the anniversary celebration, recalls Mike the Bike's debut triumph as the highlight of the 1961 races.
He led on the road on lap two when he passed us at Signpost Corner, but Taveri actually broke the lap record on the last lap. And Mike managed to win it. I think it was about 6 or 8 seconds, something like that. But it was the race of the week, really, in a lot of ways. So many happy memories of that. And then he went on in the afternoon and won another race. He won the 250 race in the afternoon.
Douglas councillor Stephen Pitt said the event is an excellent idea to honour the achievements of a true racing icon. He said he used to marshal and remembers Hailwood's comeback. He went on to praise the rider and said it would be an excellent event that is well deserved. Hailwood's first win at the TT came in the lightweight class in 1961, topping the podium 13 more times before his last victory in the 1979 senior TT. He died in a car crash 2 years later at the age of 40. Fans and bike enthusiasts alike are able to share stories of Mike Hailwood and view replica machines at the Hailwood Centre, named in his honour, between midday and 4 p.m. tomorrow.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
In a global first, El Salvador's adopted Bitcoin as legal tender. President Nayib Bukele tweeted the news, saying the Salvadoran Congress approved the measure with 62 votes out of 84. President Bukele said the move aims to help bring investment and facilitate overseas Salvadorans in sending remittances, $6 billion worth of which fed the Central American nation's economy last year. The European Central Bank, the UK and several other nations are currently considering central bank digital currencies. Meantime, China and India have put restrictions on cryptocurrency trading. The IMF said El Salvador's historic move to adopt Bitcoin as a parallel legal tender raises macroeconomic, financial and legal issues. And associated to that, the world's largest meat processing company has paid a ransom of $11 million to put an end to a major cyber attack. Computer networks at the Brazilian giant JBS were hacked last week, temporarily shutting down some of its operations in Australia, Canada and the US. The payment was reportedly made in Bitcoin. After plants had come back online, JBS said it was necessary to pay the ransom to protect customers. In a ransomware attack, hackers get into a computer network and threaten to cause disruption or delete files unless a ransom in cryptocurrency is paid. JBS paid up because of the sophistication of the attack, even though most of the plants remained operational. The company was forced to halt cattle slaughtering at all of its plants in America for a day. The disruption threatened food supplies and risked higher food prices for consumers. The White House said a criminal organization, probably in Russia, was behind the attack.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European markets climbed to record highs. The US dollar stabilised, oil priced higher and gold edged lower as the US dollar held steady. In corporate news, Halma was one of the top gainers of the day after the release of its full year results. And Domino's Pizza announced that its chief financial officer, Neil Smith, was leaving the group to become finance director of the pub and hotel company Fuller, Smith and Turner. And the numbers now at the close in London. Ramsey Crookall reporting. The FTSE 100 up almost 0.7% at 7,134. The DAX in Frankfurt up a little over 0.75% at 15,693. The trading day continues in New York City. The Dow Jones Industrial down 0.1% at 34,424. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index up 0.7% at 14,030, and the S&P 500 down just 0.1% at 4,234 in Chicago. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 41.1 cents, €1 16.6 cents, and 19 South African rand 37.7 cents. Finally, in commodities, gold down almost a percent, almost just over 0.9%, $1,880 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil up 0.6% at $72.80.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsey Crookall, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Isle of Man Water Sports. Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Here's the relevant information. If you're sailing, kayaking, windsurfing, paddleboarding, sea swimming, diving or surfing this weekend, the inshore coastal waters forecast is dry with sunny spells. Sea temperature 12 Celsius. And the weather, the wind for tomorrow, northwesterly force 3 or 4, back in southwesterly in the afternoon. Wave height 0.5 metre, wave period 3.5 metres, high water 25 to 2 tomorrow. And for Sunday, the wind is blowing southwesterly force 3 or 4, wave height 0.5 metres, wave period 3 seconds, high water on Sunday 12 minutes past 2.
If you're looking for supply only windows and doors, make sure you visit the Manx Glass and Glazing showroom on the Snugbrook Trading Estate or call 674 573. Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
The Isle of Man's attitude towards LGBTQIA plus people has come a long way in the last 10 years, according to Man in Line caller Ryan earlier on today, who was himself attacked for being part of that community.
I'm Manx and I was born on Ireland and raised on Ireland, and the atmosphere up until about 10 years ago was substantially different. Myself, I actually got lamped on my way home. I got punched in the face on my way home from a night out in January 2020. I've got a pretty nasty scar on my lip from a gentleman who just knew that I was a member of the gay community, used the F-word slur at us. Even regardless of that, homophobia still exists within the community, especially for trans people. They're going basically through what gays were going through, I don't know, say 20 years ago or so. Your clip from those two people at Timor Day, that protest. Well, I saw another clip of the man in line from, I think, like 1991, and it's the potential MHKs that were running for the time. And my God, I had no idea quite how bad it was, and the comments that they were making so blasé. It's like something from the dark ages, yet it was the early 90s when I was born myself. So I think it's important to educate people how dangerous it can be for society. I think the younger generation, they've grown up with social media, etc., so they've had the whole world access to. I grew up partly without the internet, and then later on in life we had social media, so we've had half and half of it. But the younger people, they've had more, and the older people, like, you just need to show acceptance across all society. And it's not a case of ramming it down people's throats. It's just that, you know, it's a nice chance to celebrate love and how far we've come in the last 10 years, especially on Ireland, and to do it in the Villa Marina, which is effectively the cultural center point of the Isle of Man, and have so much, such a positive response and such a little negative response, so shows how far we've come.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fastamai, Ewan Gorn.
Fastamai, it would have been senior race day today, but road racing fans are having to turn attentions to next year's event instead, with announcements on the race schedule due later tonight. Turning to football, there's a big weekend of finals coming. There are two teams from JCK Division 2 contesting the Paul Henry Gold Cup final on Saturday. Onchan will take on Ramsey Youth Centre at Bala Fletcher with kickoff at 6 p.m. The Isle of Man FA is encouraging fans to come down and show their support. Meanwhile, it's the Canada Life Women's FA Cup final on Sunday, where Douglas Royal are taking on Corinthians at the Bowl. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff with admission £3 for adults and £1 for kids. And stay tuned after update tonight for Friday Sport with Simon Clark, where the draw for the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup quarterfinals will be made live on Manx Radio. Turning to athletics, the Commonwealth Games Association of the Isle of Man is looking to appoint a medical team. It's to work with its athletes ahead of the 2022 Commonwealth Games. They're due to be held in Birmingham next summer. The team is looking for two physiotherapists to deliver treatment, as well as a sports massage therapist. All roles are voluntary, with travel expenses covered by the association. You can find a full list of the qualification expectations at the Isle of Man Commonwealth Games Association website. And finally, the Manx Hockey Association is marking the close of its season tonight with a black tie dinner at the Palace Hotel.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
8 minutes before 6, 2 departures, 2 arrivals from Ronald's Way. The 10-5 patient transfer, Loganair to Liverpool, left 15 minutes late, due back at 6:40. And the 5:20 to Heathrow, left 7 minutes late. That's due back at 8:30 this evening. On the roads in Ramsey, between Parliament Street and the hairpin, temporary lights at the Queen's Pier turn 24 hours a day. They're curbing and resurfacing. In Bride, down the Coast Road, temporary lights 24 hours a day near the church. They're repairing a stone wall. In Annika, Farm Hill Lane's closed for the construction of a new road. In Farm Hill, Stevenson's Way has temporary lights for telecommunications work. And on Richmond Hill, rolls on till the 24th of July. Temporary lights and a 30-mile-an-hour speed limit. Ballasalla's got temporary lights as well. In Douglas, around Ballabruy, they're still digging up Ballabruy Drive for Manx gas upgrade work. If you're around Ballabruy and you want more information from the gas board, it's 644-62. 644-462 if you want the word from Manx Gas. And by the way, tomorrow, look out around Oncombe Park. There's a party in the park event. There are some restrictions around the roads around Oncombe Park. All the information you need at manxradio.com. Click on news, click on travel.
The island's new solely dedicated electric and hybrid vehicle service centre. Get more with Quayside. The Isle of Man General Election 2021 coverage on Manx Radio.
You will hear all the candidates who declared for the keys for the general election this September on every evening's update. Liberal Vanin Chair Paul Weatherall standing in Aaron Michael. The other candidates declared so far in Aaron Michael are Tim Baker, Alfred Cannon and Tim Johnson. So, Liberal Vanin Chair Paul Weatherall Does he see himself as a local or a national politician?
I'm both. I'll be...
Can you be both?
Yes, of course. My first and foremost job will be to represent the interests of the people of Erin Michael and the concerns they have in the constituency, but also all MHKs have to think about how the island's governed and be prepared and interested in what's going on in each department of government.
Now, you're, of course, a part of Liberal Vannin. Mm-hmm. How will their policies, how will the party's policies guide you? When people are voting for you, what are they going to see that's Liberal Vannin policy through you?
Well, we developed a set of guiding principles which we published in January. So all members of Liberal Vannin, and especially our candidates, are signed up to those. We're discussing particular policies for this general election collectively, and we'll be issuing a Liberal Vannin manifesto as part of our individual manifestos when they're published later on in the summer.
You can give me a key policy or two now.
The key policy is jobs. We want to make sure that the island is recovering well from COVID and what we've endured over the last year to 18 months. Looking forward to an economic recovery next summer. I don't think there'll be a great deal before then.
How will you and how will Liberal Vannin go about ensuring there is that economic recovery and there are jobs?
Yeah. One thing, we'll need to continue, I think, over the next 12 months to extend help to businesses that are still recovering from COVID and aren't having the number of visitors, for instance, this coming summer. So that there's that side of it.
Do you think we can afford to continue to do that?
I think we have to. I don't think there's a choice there. We can't let whole swathes of the economy just die out, and people have been struggling. They've been relying on savings to see them through. They can't carry on doing that indefinitely. So government does need to keep stepping in to help, particularly those in the tourist and hospitality sectors who've been hardest hit.
That's been Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of the Manx Radio's News Department. Thanks to newsreader Lewis Foster, producer Ewan Gorn. By the way, the long walk to Pride tomorrow starts at Villiers Square in Douglas and proceeds to the Villa Gaiety, where the Pride Festival is taking place. All the information on that and every other story you've heard tonight at manxradio.com or via the free Manx Radio app, which you can get, if you don't have, at any app store. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. I'm Andy Wint, back with Update Monday, 5:30.
WIN.